Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We are so glad that you're tuning in with us today. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at r4sq.org. Now stay tuned and enjoy today's podcast. God bless.
This morning, we're going through a series called One, and today's message is called Dollars and Cents. All right. Now, of course, stewardship is not just about money. It's about anything that you are responsible, you've been entrusted to. All right. A steward takes care of somebody else's items, whether it's money, property, land, children. A steward is one who takes care of somebody else's stuff, who is responsible enough to take care of somebody else's items. And so we're talking about stewardship in every area. And today's message, we're going to be talking about money. And it's titled Dollars and Cents. They having fun back there. Maybe we want to go. Amen. Dollars and cents. All right, let's turn to you in your Bibles. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Now, I'm going to be reading from the New King James. Let's read. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how. Everybody say how. He saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put all that she had, her whole livelihood." All right? The subject topic today would change your life. This truth about money today will affect every area of your life. Please open your hearts to the reality of today's message. And this teaching on stewardship, it will change your family and your life forever. Money is a very intricate part of our lives. Just the topic of it can be very emotional for some.
Amen.
That's because the perception of it and desire to gain it is greatly emphasized in the world and in the church. Hopefully through these teachings, God can clear up and make known his agenda and plan through this topic, money. All right? And that's what we're going to be talking about, money. But not just money. Not just money. We're going to be talking about motives. Amen. And what is it about money? What is it about a 3-cent piece of paper that you carry in your pocket that we are so attached to? What is it about those numbers in your bank account, the numbers in your bank account, that we are so attached to? And I'm telling you, once you start hitting this area, it can be very emotional, all right? It can be very, very emotional because you're touching some things, all right? And when I got saved and got off all those drugs and Jesus started teaching me how not to smoke or not to lust after women, he took every area. I mean, he started just teaching me. As I yielded to him, he started teaching me, like, you're not somebody I want to have sex with. You are a child of God. He started teaching me not to look at women as someone that's here for me as a piece of meat. He started teaching me every area. Start changing my view of how to view life. Amen. And one thing he didn't forget is money. Amen. And changing our perspective about money that's been given from the world. And best believe, money is not in heaven. Personally don't need your money. He personally don't. Anybody that can create don't need no money. Amen. So money can't be about God. It has to be more so about you. Amen. And he changed my perspective in every category. All right. And he just been teaching me how to be. And I didn't know it was for this type of setting that I was going to be transferring this information. Transform their thinking, transform their perspective and analyze things. The money. That's why we can't shy away. It's a big area that's so intricate. It's so apart. Amen. It's so big. It's very monumentally big in our life. All right. Go to Ephesians. And first of all, I have to knock the devil out. I got to put him in his place. Amen. I got to knock wrong motives out about money, especially about giving to God's house. Amen. I got to knock the devil out. And it's so ingrained in the body of Christ. It's crazy. Amen. Once I start explaining to you, you'll understand. You'll start seeing clearer. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified. Can y'all read that? Turn these lights down for me right here, Brother Antonio, so they can see that a little bit better. I'm talking about the lights right here on the ceiling, right there through that wall, Antonio. Thank you, sir. Now watch this. And you he made alive. And you he made alive when you were spiritually dead and separated from him. Because of your transgressions and sins in which you once walked. You were following the ways of the world, influenced by the present age. And I must emphasize, influenced by the present age. In accordance with the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that now works in the disobedient, the unbelieving children who fight the purposes of God. All right? God personally don't need your money. All right? But his wife do. Ooh, that was good, wasn't it? His wife do. Who is his wife? The church or the bride of Christ? And why do the church need your money? Because we live in a system that's ruled by Satan. But hold up, ain't God in control? Ain't God in control? Hold on now. Is God in control of the White House? Is God in control of Donald Trump? Is God in control of Hillary Clinton? Hold on now. If God is in control, now I must challenge your theology. And I always challenge theology. If God is in control, it's his fault, the condition of this world. So he can't be in control. Now he is in, he got all control, but he gave that control over to somebody. And I must explain this, all right? The monetary system we live in currently is ruled by Satan, all right? The god of this world. And God has to now work through the heart of men whereby this system has so trained to get his purpose done. All right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then he gave Adam responsibility to have dominion or take dominion over the earth and all everything that's in the earth. Adam gave that dominion over to who? He gave it. Right? Satan deceived him, and he just gave it away, right? It was as if I built a company. I built my own company. This is the essence of what happened. And we have to understand this. It was as if I built a company and I gave total authority over to my son. Total authority. Now, I separate myself from my company and I give him responsibility over it. How my son do the company has nothing to do with me. If he run it in the ground, is it my fault? No. Because I gave him responsibility over it. And if he give my company away to someone else against my will, what does that have to do with me? Nothing. All right? And this is what happened. The responsibility of earth, of this world, was shifted over to Satan from man. So when Jesus came in the flesh, or when God came in the flesh, and the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness, what did Satan tempt Jesus with? Food? Power? Now, what was the last one? The kingdoms of the earth. He said, they are mine. How did they become his? It was given to him. All right? It was given to him. And Jesus came to take the keys of the kingdom of this world and take authority back over this world. Jesus did. And so authority has been given to mankind through the cross. But you have to receive that. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He didn't say God was going to bind it. You have to learn what's your place now that Christ has come and what he's done for you on the cross. All right? But Jesus has now given the keys and made them available to man to take control, to have authority over through the church. All right? And so, we've been influenced by the world. The reason I went to Ephesians 2, because we've been influenced by the God of this world to see. And what is it about this 3-cent piece of paper? What makes it have value? Why does it have so much value? What does this value come from? It's perception. Man has placed it on there. The God of this world has placed value in gold. And right now, the money used to be gold back. That means they can print money based on how much gold we had in Fort Knox. It used to be gold back. Now, it's called the petrodollar. It's backed up by the oil because oil is so profitable. All right? So that's supposed to be our value. It's supposed to be the value. That's why they place the value on money. Amen. But because of greed and because of this world and the gain and the lust for things, our value is slowly diminishing off that dollar. Slowly. Why? Because of credit. All right? Credit is slowly devaluing our money and devaluing that dollar. But it's amazing how man can place value on it, and now we're so attached to it. Why? Because the value that others perceive it as. Because you can get some things done with money, right? In this world. But God wants to change your value of what money is. And that's what we're talking about today. He wants to change your perspective. And that's why I give it to the church. It's such a challenge for some because we're so emotionally attached to that money from the world's perspective. Amen? And I'm here to change it a little bit. This influence of the world has shaped the hearts of mankind concerning the purpose and the agenda of money. This shaping and process is founded on selfishness and conceit. The transformation that we go through as believers in our perspective concerning how we see money has to happen for all believers. All right? Jesus would just not challenge other areas in your life and not challenge you in this area also. This is just not my desire. This is God's desire for you to think about money in the right way. All right? And God will always challenge areas of your heart that has been idolized, that is given, you're giving yourself to it in a negative way. He's going to challenge those areas if you allow him to. All right? And he's going to change your perception in those areas. God will. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 to 10. 3 through 10. Everybody say, change me, Lord.
Change me, Lord.
1 Timothy. Man, those words small. I'll fix it. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 10. It says, if anyone teaches otherwise that does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and over arguments of words, from which come envy, strife, revelings, and evil suspicion. Useless wragglings of men of corrupt mind and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a mean of gain. All right? From such withdraw yourself. You hear what the Bible says? From such withdraw yourself. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish, harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. King James says all evil. From which some have strayed from the faith and greediness and have pierced themselves with many blows. All right, let's go over a few teachings. Let's go over these teachers right here. The Bible says it's the love of money is the root of all evil. All right? It's the love of money. It didn't say money was the root of all evil. It's the love of it, the lust of it, the strong desire of it, that got to have attitude that comes with it. Get it by any means necessary attitude is the root of all evil. All right? And so our job, and I'm going to knock some teachings out that's in the church, that could be in the church, and I just want to clear up motives. This is my job as a pastor, is to help clear up motives. All right? And one teaching that's in the body of Christ that I believe that's not in the Bible at all is give to get. All right? Have a need, sow a seed. How many of y'all heard that statement? Amen. We done heard it. Why is it not true? It ain't in the Bible. It ain't in the Bible. Amen. What story can you read that they walked up to Jesus talking about, I want a healing, and he said, you got a seed? What story in the Bible where they came up to Jesus and he said, all you need is some money? What story in the Bible that we can see this statement? You can't see it nowhere. What would I look like if my son came to me and said, Daddy, I'm hungry. Well, you got a seed? Hold on, you got a nickel? You got to give me something. I got to have faith. You need something to work with. I just can't bless you like that. I need some money. Son? My own son. It ain't in the Bible. And guess what it promotes? It encourages selfishness. It encourages. Seem like you got to bribe God. Your money ain't your faith, and that's what they call it. God need he needs your faith, and your money ain't your faith. Why? Because it ain't in the Bible. Amen. It ain't in the Bible. And it sins in your heart that you got to somehow, by God's goodness, by God to do something. So God will do something, you have to transfer. And the principle that I see that they trying to bring out is when God tell you to give, you better give. Now that principle is there. If God speaks to your heart to give, yeah, give. Amen. Because faith worked by love. And when you give, it's a form of love. And we're going to get into that. It's a form of love. All right? But I can't treat my son like that. If I treated my son like that, they probably try to take my son from me. Right? Luke 6 and 38. Luke 6 and 38. And that principle encouraged a wrong motive with God. And we'll get into the right motive that you're supposed to have and why we give. All right, judge not. You at Romans 6, 38? I mean, not Romans. Luke. Did I say Luke?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. Luke 6 and 38. Luke 6 and 38. And it says, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn and you shall be condemned. You shall not be condemned. Forgive and it will be given. You will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men put into your bosoms. For with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Why every time, this is so good, I remember the Lord showed this to me. Why every time when we say give, we automatically tie it to money? Like, it's, if I say it right now, it's time to give, you're already thinking about money, cents, right? But this verse has nothing to do with money. And it's always taught. It's always taught. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. How many of y'all heard this verse in reference to money? Me. But do we see money in this verse anywhere? What is it talking about? Give. He said, judge and you won't be judged. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. So when the Bible say give, he's not just talking, he's not talking about money. It is placed in the Bible if he's talking about money. But it's talking about giving, forgiveness, judgment. If you don't judge, you won't be judged. If you don't sow this, if you don't sow judgment against people, then it won't come back to you. But if you do, it'll come back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, right? All right? So what is he talking about give here? We have to read the verse before. He says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. And that's what he's talking about. So if you sow forgiveness, I'm telling you, you'll reap it. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sow, that shall he also reap. So when we talk about give, it's more than just about your money. It's about whatever Jesus do for you. Give that. How can I restrain forgiveness when he's forgiven me of all my sins? How can I constrain not judging people when Jesus don't judge me? All right? He said, forgive and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. If you don't forgive, that's what's going to come back. People are not going to forgive you. All right? Let's go to the next one. God wants to make me rich. All right, this is another statement. Now, y'all must be clear. God don't want to make you rich. He's already made you rich. So you don't have to go try to get it. See, this is the problem, I believe. We always trying to work to get something Jesus already accomplished for us on the cross. We always trying to work to get freedom in addictions, freedom in this area. Man, I'm just working to get free in this area. And Jesus already provided freedom for you on the cross. The Bible says Jesus was made poor that through his poverty, he might make us rich. So you're rich, you having a concept that you have to gain riches? Automatically, guess what it does? It negates your faith in the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, it just kills your faith in the Lord Jesus. It kills it.
Why? Because now you're trying to gain something he's already done. Instead of just believing that your numbers in your bank account ain't what's rich. Am I right? That number in that bank account is not your created value. And when God showed me this, I stopped trying to get it. Because this is what happens a lot of times. When you talk that you have to get rich, then you have to work towards something. You are straining to grab something that's it's been given to you. Just like salvation. See, the cross is more than just about you being saved and going to heaven. It's a lot of things transpired on the cross than just about you being saved. And one area is you becoming rich. Jesus already made you a rich man. Why? Because he became poor. Guess what? So poor don't have to ever hit you because of what Jesus done. But do you believe that? Now it's not by my might and not by my strength, but by his and what he's done. The Bible always gonna point you to Jesus and not to you. The Bible wants us to live in, he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But who joy? His. Amen. Not your joy. The Lord wants you to live in the power of his might. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Amen. So Jesus always wants you to live in him. He said, abide in me. Follow me. Concentrate on me. Amen. And I believe we have to get our eyes and our concentration on Jesus and what he wanted and what he did, what he's already accomplished for you on the cross. So just like you receive your salvation, just like the same way you receive your salvation, you can receive deliverance from addictions. You can receive, I ain't got to ever be broke no more because of Jesus. Amen. And you better believe that God put money in there. You just don't have to work for it. It's a process that you believe, man, I'm already rich, and I'm working. I'm working so I can increase my tithes and giving in the house of God. So your process is not to give to get. It's to get to give. If you will have this mentality, give, if my process is to get to give, not give to get. Amen. And so, I'm here to clear up motives and agendas. Amen. So, God, he don't want to make you rich. He already made you rich. Why? Because the cross has already been accomplished for you 2,000 years ago. It's already been done. It's provided for you, and it's according to your faith and how you receive that. Amen. Just like you receive your salvation, this is also available for you too in Christ. Amen. You can pay your bills on time in full. You don't ever have to be broke another day in your life because of Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. Not by how much you sow and give. Not by how much you work hard. It's by what Jesus done for you on the cross. Don't ever try to earn what Jesus has given. Even though when he tell you to do something, do it. Amen. And that's not earning it. Oh, that's obeying him. Amen. And so, Luke 12, verse 15. And he said to them, this is so good, y'all. I mean, this scripture is so good right here. Luke 12, verse 15. And he said to them, everybody write this scripture down or have it somewhere. He said to them, take care and be on your guard against covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. Jesus says here, your life does not consist of what you have. That's not your life. Some people think because they ain't got no big house or they got a car that barely run, and they make that their life. They make the bank account their life. And that's not your life. Your life does not consist of the abundance of things that you possess. It's not about your possessions. Your life is revealed in Christ Jesus and what he's done for you on the cross. That's what your life is revealed to you. That's what your value is. It's not in your stuff. And the world, and what I'm changing, is the world makes stuff something, make your money something, and make what you do in life is something. That prestige and how people see you, they make that something. And so we chase after these things. Instead of chasing after the cross, instead of chasing after what Jesus done for you, amen? Go be the best that you can be in the world, but that's still not your life. I was at the gas station, and I was out, you know, me and Fred, we meet at the gas station before we go out and work, and the Lord told me, I was walking into the store, the Lord told me to talk to this lady. I always talk, Fred, no, I always talk to people when the Lord lead me, amen? And he told me to go in there and encourage her. Go in there and encourage. She was in her car, and I was walking, and I seen her. And me and Fred was talking. I said, hold up, Fred. And I went and started ministering to this young lady. I'm telling you, God's presence was on it, too. It was like, pow, and she was just receiving it, right? And I got in the store, and the owner of the store, he come in. We come in every morning. We joking with him. And the owner of the store, he said, what, you get her number? And I said, no, I gave her Jesus, though. He said, oh, okay, yeah, Jesus. Because he's an Indian, all right? He's an Indian, oh, Jesus, right? And I said, I came back to the cash register, and he said, well, won't you just pray Jesus bless you with all these billions of dollars, and you won't ever have to work again. I said, God don't work like that. God don't work like that. I told him, I said, why you ain't give your son the keys of your car? Go ahead, just give it all to him. Give him your inheritance and everything. He 12. Just go and give it all to him. I said, why? He said, he ain't ready. I said, God is like that too. He see what you do with the 20. And if he can trust you, he will bless you with more. Amen. He will bless you with more, but he will always see what you do with the little. I'm telling you, this is what God will do. And people be wanting God to bless them with all these millions of dollars, and they ain't even tithing off the $10. And he will always see how faithful you do with the little. This is how God is. And this is what I'm training you to get in that thinking. Amen. To get in that mold of thinking. And then he was like, okay. And because the Spirit of God was still on me from witnessing to that girl, man, he caught me at the wrong time. Yeah, he caught me at the right time. Amen. That's right. So, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is transforming your thinking about money from a selfish point of view. I gotta give to get so I can be blessed. I gotta give so I can be blessed. You gotta be blessed, you know. And now it's about you transforming it. We taking all that out. And we thinking from God's point of view. What's God's point of view? He so loved the world he gave. So, our motive, my motive, and why I give is because love for the world, love for people. It's love and motive and why we give, not us. It's somebody else. Amen? And guess why God got a system of giving like this? Because we live in this world. All right? And the God of this world has corrupted our minds and blinded our minds to think it's all about us. And God is transforming us. And one way he transforming us, he teach us how to give from a right perspective. And he'll challenge you in your giving. And he does this on purpose, I believe. All right? And so my motive and why I give is the same reason why God gave Jesus. For my creative value. The reason God gave Jesus is because of your creative value. Your creative value, Jesus is your worth to God. That's your net worth. his son. All right? It's not your bank account. It's not my stuff, how much stuff you have, what kind of car you drive, the clothes you wear, even though we enjoy all that stuff. Amen? I'm not saying don't have it. I believe, personally, I believe all that stuff was created for us. Amen? All of it. The best of everything. Because best believe in heaven, ain't nothing tearing down, ain't nothing falling apart. They walking on the stuff that we think is something down here. The streets are paved in gold and we up here killing folks before. It's a perspective change. Amen? That has to happen. So, as we continue moving forward in the things of God, all right, let's get another motive that's got to be right. That's a true motive that we must have. Not only should we have a motive to love because of love while we give, it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Why is it more blessed to give than receive? Why is it more blessed to give than receive? Because you got it. That's why it's more blessed to give than receive. And that word blessed in the Greeks means not just to be envied, but happy. Blessed means happy. It's more blessed to give than receive because you got it. Amen. You got it to give. This is another true motive that we must have. All right. So, God don't need your money, but his wife do, or his bride, the church, because we live in this system. Amen. We live in this system. And so, can I get three men, volunteers. Three men. Quick. Three men. Come on. One more. Come on, Jonathan. Three men. Stand right here. Right here, Nathan, face. My brother Fred, right here, face. Brother Jonathan, right here. All right? Say, for instance, I was going out of town. And I'm going to help give you a right motive in why we should give, especially tithing. Say, for instance, I was going out of town and for about 6 months. And I was trusting these three to take care of my wife at home. All right? And I was going to bless them for doing this $10,000 a month. Say amen. 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 $10,000 a month. I was going to bless them $10,000. $10,000 for you, $10,000 for you, $10,000 for you. The only condition is I want you to give, as soon as I send it, I want you to give my wife $1,000, Jonathan. That's all I want you to do. I blessed you with the $10,000. Just give my wife $1,000. $1,000 for my wife. $1,000 for my wife every month. All right? So I never check with them. I'm just sending the money, right? So I call my wife at the end of 3 months, and I call my wife, and I says, hey, what's up, baby? Everything being taken care of at home? And she said, I said, how Jonathan doing? I said, how Jonathan doing? That $1,000 coming like clockwork. And then she would tell me, that $1,000 coming like clockwork with Jonathan. And then I'd be like, how Fred doing? And Fred on time, $1,000. And then we get to my brother Nathan. She said, well, we got to talk about Nate. And we got to talk about Nate. The first month, he gave me $700. Second month, he gave me $400. Third month, he ain't give me nothing. All right? God, this is just an example. I know you faithful with the little. Amen? Amen. I don't want to scare you, my brother, because that is a scary thing not to give in my how Jesus had taught me. So, you remember that job you prayed for? All that money, God blessed you with that. The money that God gives you and he blesses you with the ability, amen, to go out and get it, he blessed you with all of it. All of it. just like I would if I gave them 10,000. And all I'm asking is for 1,000. Why? To take care of my wife, to take care of home. And we are the bride of Christ. All right? We are the bride of Christ. And so all God is asking is for his, to take care. Because he blessed you. And then he said, just steward the 90. Or take care of the 90. Amen? But I'm not dealing with the 90. We're going to deal with the 90 next week. It's the 10 that God is looking for. All right? Not just because the Bible says, will a man rob God? Not stealing. We're not talking about stealing. We're talking about robbing. What's the difference between robbing and stealing? Rob is in your face. It's eyeball to eyeball. Give me your stuff, right? It's not stealing. Stealing is something that you're doing. Ain't nobody sneaking. You got to sneak. It's behind. You know, it's like cowardice, like, right? But a robbing is eyeball to eyeball. Then Bible says, will a man rob God? Why is it considered robbery? Because he sees everything. He sees everything. Right? Y'all give these men a... Thank God for y'all. Appreciate you, Jonathan. All right. Why? And let's continue speaking on this. And this is the knockout punch right here. And then we'll go on to prayer. This is a knockout punch. I believe God instituted, that's one reason. But I also believe it helps us mature. It helps us mature. How do it help us mature? It helps us to not trust in what the world trusts in. The world trusts in money as they God. What I mean, money promise you happiness. Money promise you that, how many of y'all ever had this thought, man, if I had enough money, I could help more people? I could help more people if I had what? More money. But Jesus never gave that as an answer to nobody when he was here on earth. He never gave it as an answer. He never said, oh, you just need more money. He didn't ever say that. All right? So why we need it so much? I believe we have an unhealthy attachment to money that God is trying to wing off us. That's why he tells us to give, and he instructs us to give the tithe. All right? And we have an unhealthy attachment like the world do, because we think the world paints this picture of money, say it makes you happy. You know, it satisfies you, and, you know, it promises you things that only God can really fulfill. Security. It promises you, and this is what's so perverted. It plays as God. It acts like God. Money, just the thought of it. It acts like God. It says if you have more money, you can, boom, you can do this. You can be more secure. You can help more people. Just think about it. When you ever ran into a situation, a dire need, think about it. You either need somebody to come through for you, or you need God to bless you with some more money. And you think about it. What's your dire needs? And we're not talking about healing or nothing like that, but we always be thinking somebody, God need to come through, or we need somebody to give us some more money. And Jesus never gave that as an answer. He never said money was give be your answer and what you need. Amen. Even though we pay bills with it, even though we buy groceries and all that stuff, and we do things with money, but know that my God is taking care of me, not this money, not your job, not that check every week. The reason you're getting taken care of is because God supplies all your needs, not money. Not money. And having this right perspective, what if the money system go down? Okay, amen, that's right. That's exactly right. I go to trust God. My God got to take care of me. What if the money system go down? What if the value of the money that's in your bank account go down to zero? And think about it. Think about it, guys. In the last days, it says in Revelation, that the fear that the system used is not through nuclear war. It's not through terrorism. It's the fear of not being able to buy and sell. And think about it. When we came over into Iraq, the first thing they did was devalue their money. The first thing they did. This is the first thing they do when they come over into another country. If a country rebels against this world system, the first thing they do is take away the value of their money. So it's not through nuclear war that the system is ran by. It's the fear of being able to buy and sell. Just think about it in Revelations. You will not be able to buy and sell. You won't be able to take care of your family. That fear there, you won't be able to provide for your family. And they try to make money God. And when this system crashes, who will your faith be in? I put it like this. You have zero money in your bank account. How you gonna get fed? My God, gotta supply all my needs, right? That's what has gotta happen, right? I got zero. How my kids gonna survive? My God. And what I'm doing? I'm tweaking your motives. I'm putting your faith back into what it's supposed to be in the first place. Even though we got money, even though we use it, even though we take care of it, even though it's so involved around our lives, it's God said he can bless you with more if he can trust you to get it to his house and take care of his wife. Take care of his wife. And so now I'm not trying to get you to give that. I'm not trying to manipulate you into the giving. I'm clearing up motives, and you'll see it'll become clear. And you'll just want to give. Why? Because we've been made after our Father. So, I am a giver, right? Why? Because I'm a new creature in Christ. I've been made after my Father. I'm not just taking. No, I give. If you get around me, you're going to get blessed. I'm telling you, I'm going to bless you with some money. No, you better not. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. You can't take back words, can you? I'm like, no, don't go in their ears. No, but you're supposed to, when you get around the house of God, you're supposed to be able to be a blessing to somebody financially. I walked in my desk a couple weeks ago. Man, somebody got Jasper on the envelope, and then I'm like, what? It's $250. Is that 50 or 100? And then I said, pray, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because you're supposed to be able to be a blessing. I'm thinking the reason it's blessed to give and receive is because you got it, right? So be a blessing. It's not just for you. It's not just for your three and four or whatever. Jesus wants you to be a blessing. He wants you to be an example of who he is. He wants you to be an example of who he is when he gave Jesus. Amen. So, that's it. If this was Wednesday night, I'd be like, any questions? But we got confessions that we're going to say. And these confessions, or these words, is to help train you on how we should be on the inside. It's going to help us in our faith, to put our faith in the right thing. Amen. And put our faith in God and not in this system. Not in this government, all right? Because God, as long as I'm here, and one thing you can rest assured, saints, one thing you can rest assured, God going to take care of his. He going to take care of his wife. This government and this world is never going to dictate the church. He'll come back for that. This world is never going to dictate the church and tell the church what it's going to do and all that stuff. I'm telling you, we're living in the last days. Listen. And you are in a safe place. If you're a part of the body of Christ, you are in a safe place because God take care of his wife. He take care of his kids. Amen.
And that's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If God has touched and impacted your life through Restoration Church, please share your testimony with us. Just email us at amen@r4sq.org so we can hear your story. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.